the Jews are coming in, and after the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, God's going to turn back to the Jews. And I'll tell you why. It's because many Gentile Christians are going to do just what they're doing today. They're going to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. They're going to speak against the works of God. They're going to deny the full gospel, just exactly what they're doing today. And God's going to reprobate them.
Dave, Michael said that the soccer in the dream is an international sport played by everybody.
Praise the Lord.
I mean, it's played in every country.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know a lot about soccer. Never played soccer. But
imagine, they calls it soccer.
Well, you don't use your hands. You use your feet.
Right.
Right.
You use your head.
You can't use your hands. It's illegal to use your hands.
None of your own work, son.
Right.
You have to use your walk,
and
you have to use your mind.
Right?
Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. God can show you so many things, can't
you? I heard the other day that, I think it was the Aztec calendar, ends on in the year 2012.
Yep. Yeah, I heard that too.
Hey, we have several prayer requests.
Okay.
Several prayer requests that are just building and mounting.
Well, we need to pray. And I tell you what, the Bible says, if any two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done by our Father in heaven. And the Bible says, one will chase a thousand, and two will chase 10,000. So we pray for these prayer requests. You who are listening, you need to exercise your faith. You need to command this done. Okay? And you know what? It doesn't do. I can remember places where unbelief hindered the work of God. Did you ever notice that when Jesus went in to raise the dead, he only took really faithful disciples in there with him, and he put everybody else out of the room? Peter did the same thing. Why is that? Because God did not want to honor unbelief with a miracle. He did not want to do that. And I remember the Lord taught me that lesson years ago. Because I was in a place where people would throw out their old dogs out in the country, you know. And, boy, we prayed for a bunch of dogs, and God healed them. I mean, broken legs and all kinds of stuff. I picked one up off the road one day that had a broken back, dragging his back in. And I took him into an old shed, laid him down, and I saw my neighbor pull up. And, of course, my neighbor was in the same fellowship I was. And I was an elder there, and he was supposed to be exercising faith. But I called to him to come over and agree with me to pray over this dog. And the Holy Spirit, after I called, the Holy Spirit said, don't do that. And I really didn't know exactly why he said that. But I felt like I'd already spoken it. And the guy saw me and he was walking my way. And he was coming over there. And I just told him, I said, well, picked up this dog off the road out there. It's got a broken back. And we need to pray and agree for it. And I didn't pay enough attention to the Holy Spirit. He said, don't do that. Because this guy wasn't really agreeing with me. And matter of fact, he went out there and shot that dog the next day. He wasn't going to go through any trial of his faith. Went out there and shot the dog, you know. And I thought, well, that's why the Lord told me don't do that, you know. So, you know, get somebody to agree with you that has faith. And since we are all together here, exercise your faith here. You know, you speak to these people that have requests. You agree it's done, and you don't accept anything but the fact that you've commanded it done, and it has to happen. You know, just accept what the Word says. So what do you have there, Terry?
Okay. We have... Let's see. First we have Sister Bonnie. She asked if we would pray for her. She suffered with, when you were talking about her sinus infection, or your sinuses. Mm-hmm. So she's asked us to, she says, I suffer with sinus infection or something that has lingered for several weeks. I am not taking anything in the way of medicine. I have claimed a healing based on the scripture, but as for prayer from the elders, I have clear conscience before God. She also, I found out later, she also talked about she's battling a diabetes demon. Mm-hmm. And she knows that she won't be able to get medicine in the tribulation.
That's right. So true.
She wants to be healed of it now. But I think she wants to come to a place of faith where she can walk in that faith also.
Let me tell you what happened with us with diabetes. In fact, I had it on both sides, my mom's and my dad's side. And I've never received by faith. I've had attacks that I thought probably had something to do with that, but I hadn't been to a doctor in 30 years, so I really don't know if that's what it was. I just felt like that's what it was, and I just rebuked it. But you know, the curse of the parents are passed on to the children of the third and fourth generation, and so it's very possible that what your parents got will attempt to come on you. It's not that you have to receive it, because we know that the gospel is the thing that breaks these genetic curses. If you don't believe the gospel, don't expect to break these curses. Okay? So I remember one time that my third son, Justin, went with his older brothers and me, and their grandpa had given them some guns, and they'd never been hunters or anything, but we used to go to a certain place and we would just plink, you know, we'd go and shoot once in a while, and they'd shoot cans and stuff like that, you know. So we were there, and his brothers were shooting these cans, and all of a sudden, Justin just turned as white as a sheet, and he got faint, and he felt like he couldn't stand up. And I asked the Lord, "Now, what is this, Lord?" And the Lord told me that it was diabetes. And so I started rebuking that in the name of Jesus and commanded it to come out of him in Jesus' name, and immediately he threw up, and he was delivered. But that demon was attempting to come on him. You know, we don't have to accept that. And, you know, even after it's been diagnosed, we don't have to accept it. You know, it's just it's not what's promised to us. So, who was that?
That was Bonnie.
Okay. We need to pray for diabetes and sinus problems. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, now listen, whenever you get prayed for, the Bible says faith without works is dead. Act on it. I'm not just talking to Bonnie now, I'm talking to anybody. When you receive something, you receive it. You receive it in your mind, you receive it with your mouth, you receive it with your feet, you act on it. Faith without works is incomplete. It's dead in itself. Speak it. You know, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. You know, the church knows, even the most worldly church knows, that you need to confess your salvation before men. They've seen the miracles that happen when people confess their salvation before men. Even though they don't understand, salvation is much bigger than what they think. And it includes your body and your circumstances and everything. They don't understand that. But they do know that simple thing, that you confess your salvation before men. And this is the truth. When we pray, you believe you received, like Jesus commanded, Mark 11:24, and you speak it before men, and it's yours. The devil cannot stop you from receiving this. So, let's pray for Bonnie. Let's put our faith together and command this infirmity to loose her in Jesus' name, okay? Father, we thank you that you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And in agreement with your word, we take that authority today. And we turn it against these powers of darkness that are manifesting this curse in Bonnie's life. Bonnie, we just command your body to be healed of that infirmity in Jesus' name. You'll no longer have this curse of sinus infections in your life. You were delivered at the cross, and we just command that flesh to come into submission to the Word of God. It says, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. We forbid this infirmity, this sinus congestion, work of the devil. We forbid it in Bonnie in the name of Jesus Christ. And also, we come against that spirit of diabetes. In the name of Jesus, we forbid your power over Bonnie's life. In the name of Jesus Christ, you go from her now. In the name of Jesus, go! She will no longer be under that curse. We forbid it. And our Lord told us what we forbid is forbidden in heaven. And what we permit is permitted in heaven. So it's done in the name of Jesus. As our Lord said, when you pray, believe you have received and you shall have it. Right? So we thank God for it. It's that simple, folks. Now, what most people can hold that for just about 2 days. But the truth is, what you have to do is be, like the Bible was saying a few minutes ago, you've got to be stubborn. You have to say, nope, I know what the Word says, and that's what I believe. And I don't believe anything else, and I'm not accepting any other thought in my mind or out of my mouth. I'm not accepting. I'm going to say what the Bible says. We have to confess Him before men to be confessed by our high priest before the Father. That's what the Bible says, right? Yes, Terry?
The next one, we have a new person here.
Brand new person?
Several brand new people. This one, her name is Amy. She lives in Montgomery. And she says she's battling off a spirit of fear of the future. She's got a glimpse of how bad off this country is.
Oh, yeah.
And it put a fear in her about the future of this country.
Well,
and she's been rebuking it.
Well, that's good. Amy, I got some good news for you. God's got wonderful things He's going to do. Don't worry about the times to come, because these are God's times. They're the same times as in Jesus' ministry in the book of Acts. That's these times that are coming. Just like, in fact, the Lord told me, we're coming to our own book of Acts. God didn't finish writing the book of Acts. And matter of fact, we've got a greater time coming. This is a worldwide book of Acts that's about to be written. And so get excited.
Actually, it's the wedding feast for God's people of the saints. The seven day wedding feast.
Unleavened bread, the latter rain. You don't want to miss this. Don't buy all that flyaway stuff. You don't want to miss this. Finally, the church is going to start acting like the church. You know,
she's real young in the Lord, and I mean, she just. Just got a revelation that this country is coming to an end.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is. Amy, I tell you what I want you to listen to. I want you to listen to the first... Can you show her that?
I did.
Oh, you did? Good. The first conference tape there. Because there's a lot of good news shared there about what's coming.
She also needs to read your book.
Eventually.
That would be very good. Yeah,
tell her not to stand in line waiting to get fitted for her wings.
To understand God's sovereignty and the purpose of this, the direction of where everything is going here.
Y'all finished?
No, we ain't going to let you do that to us today.
Is very helpful. It really helps to take away fear. Because you're understanding God's plan of His sovereignty over what He's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I gave her a lot of stuff too.
Okay.
She says she's been at the website all day today.
That's good. That book would be very good for you, Amy. That Sovereign God for us and through us. It just tells you how God is going to put His authority in you, you know, and through your agreement with Him. How can two walk together except they be agreed, right? It's going to teach you how to agree with Him and His power to be in you. Going to really bless your life. Let's agree with Amy right now. Let's come against the spirit of fear. In the name of Jesus Christ, we command this fear to loose Amy in Jesus' name. We forbid you tormenting spirits from being around her in the name of Jesus. We forbid your fear. She'll be bold and full of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what He gave us at the cross. He made reconciliation, which means an exchange. He gave Amy His faith, and He took her fear on that cross. He made an exchange. So we thank You, Lord, for that katalesso, that exchange that was accomplished at the cross. And we are ministers of the reconciliation, the exchange. We're ministers. When we come to people, we share with them the good news. We, as far as practice, take away their curse and we give them God's blessing. And thank You for it, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in Amy's life, she is blessed. She is delivered. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Father. Amy, be sure and forgive everyone. Because, and I'm not just talking to Amy, but anybody. If you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. And if you're not forgiven, you're not going to be able to partake of God's benefits. You sure and forgive. The Bible says in Matthew 18 and 34, if you don't forgive everyone, your brother from the heart, that he'll turn you over to the tormentors until you shall pay all that was due. Tormentors come in the form of sometimes spirits of fear, sometimes, you know, anger, or just many kinds of demons can torment people. So make sure you forgive everybody and accept today your deliverance from fear, because it's not, doesn't belong to you. Right? God hasn't given us a spirit of fear.
I would say that in reading the book Sovereignty of God, what will happen is that you'll see a lot of exercising of faith in that. And you know, if we really look closely at what fear is, it's the opposite of faith. And so if you build yourself strong in faith, I mean, fear is faith in the devil, if you really understand what it is. And you can overcome that with greater faith in the Lord. So you should be able to get that out of God's Word. And of course, that book will help very much. And of course, this prayer right here has delivered you from that. So
yeah, you can renounce faith. Faith is a sin. You know, the Bible says
fear.
Excuse me. Sorry about that. Yeah, fear is a sin, because in Revelation chapter 20, it talks about the fearful and the unbelieving. You know that they're not going to be partakers of the kingdom. You know, so you can renounce it. You know, renounce it as a sin. You know, and command it to go.
No longer, you know, cower in fear. Recognize fear for what it is. It's something that the devil is using to come against you to try to make you weak in the Lord. So speak boldly against it, and understand that the only legal fear that the Lord has for us is a fear that he speaks of, that is not to fear the devil. Actually, he says fear him who has the authority or the power to cast into hell. So he tells us, actually what he's really saying to us is, don't worry with the mortification of this flesh on this earth. You know, what is there to worry with? You know, I'll tell you something else that's helped me a little bit too. Is when we start talking about a 7-year tribulation and then a great and terrible day of the Lord, and let's say, you know, like we're talking about right here, the advent of this is right on our doorstep. Well, folks, you know, some people are going, well, you know, will I take the mark? Will I not take the mark? Will it be so difficult? How am I going to survive with my family, this, that, and the other? People just realize that it's only 4 or 5 years, you know, after the mark. You know, you got the mark of the beast, you got 3.5 more years, and the great terrible day of the Lord is here. I mean, don't worry about it. Just choose God. Just no matter what it puts you into, just choose God and just follow the Scriptures.
You're going to be having too much fun to worry about all that stuff anyway. I'm telling you the truth. Yeah, if you're listening to anything we've had to say today and you put it into practice, you're going to be having too much fun to worry about what might happen.
I heard a definition by a pastor on fear, saying fear and faith are equal in as much as they both project into the future, reach into the future, and they both demand to be fulfilled. So we need to project faith into the future, because faith demands to be fulfilled. Yeah. So does fear. Yeah. So it's a choice.
That's right. Absolutely. You know, I've heard it said many, many years ago that faith that fizzles out at the finish had a flaw in it from the first. The thing is, you have to know what faith is. And the things that we're talking about today is really calling the things that be not as though they were. That's what faith is. I've heard a lot of people say, well, I believed God and nothing happened. Well, that's not possible. Now, who's a liar? I mean, God said, everyone that believes. And here's people that are saying, well, I believed and nothing happened. Let God be true and every man a liar. That's what the Bible says. There's no way that can happen, folks. And don't you ever believe it. I mean, faith that doesn't work is not faith, right? Faith that fizzles out at the finish had a flaw in it from the first.
In Hebrews, where it says, you know, we often read, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is now faith is the substance of things hope for, the evidence of things not seen, is present faith.
Yes.
It's not just that now word isn't just some little old word that was put in there to fill up space.
Right. That's right. Amen. Nothing is in there by accident, is it? It all is very, very useful and very have very much meaning. So, Terry, do you have somebody else that needs prayer?
Yeah, we got several.
Several?
Yeah. Okay. Okay, the next one is, I have a prayer request. I've had some sort of awful rash on my leg for months. A healer prayed for a bunch of us, and it got better, then much worse. I have prayed about this, and it's terrible. I have been putting natural stuff on it to relieve the pain, and then I didn't catch the rest of it. It came later. Hold on a second. I got to deal with someone on the line first. But basically, she wants. I think she wants us to pray that the rash would be healed and for her to maintain the faith to that it won't come back.
Who are we praying for?
Her name. Her handle is Sozo. I don't.
Sozo?
I can't think of a
real name. Well, it's a good name. Sozo. Saved, right?
Yes.
Just remember, Sozo, you've been saved, because that's your name, right? All right. We'll pray for this. We won't pray for this rash. We'll curse this rash. We don't want to pray for no rashes, do we? Praise be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall in any wise hurt you, just as you told us. We command this rash from Sozo in the name of Jesus Christ. We curse it. We command it to die now in the name of Jesus Christ. This rash has no more authority on Sozo. We forbid it from this day forth. And we believe what you said, Father, when you taught us through our Lord Jesus. And when you pray, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And when you pray and ask, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. So we believe today that Sozo receives this healing in the name of Jesus. Sozo, you're not going to have any more problem with that rash in the name of Jesus Christ. And just remember, whatever the devil says to you after this day, it's a lie. What the Word says is true. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. And he tries to send his demons against you with fear and confusion and calling the things that are as though they are, instead of the things that are not as though they are. Right? But you just do all the spiritual warfare you need and just accept only what the gospel says, and that's what you will have in Jesus' name. We call it done today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You have somebody else, Terry?
Yeah, Sheila says that she has a prayer request.
Okay.
I have been having a stomach problem trying to attack me. Please pray for it to leave and also healing of some teeth. I say trying... said that something's trying to attack me because I don't know... I do not want it. Or I do not want to own it. Oh. I say trying to attack me because I do not want to own it. Something's coming against it. She's having some stomach things and some teeth, and she doesn't want it. She's coming against it and doesn't.
Okay, let's put our faith together with Sheila's. Right? Is that what you're saying, Sheila? Okay. And we'll agree with her. If any two agree as touching anything, it shall be done by our Father in heaven. That's what our Lord Jesus said. So we agree with Sheila today. And we renounce and we rebuke this stomach problem. In the name of Jesus Christ, we command her stomach to be healed. We forbid any spirit of infirmity to torment her in Jesus' name. We forbid any ulcers or anything like that. Any other stomach infirmity, we just command her stomach to be healed. According to what our Lord did at the cross. He bore this curse for Sheila. so she could be healed and blessed. And we do agree with that today. Satan, you got no power, no authority in this case, because the blood of Jesus has set Sheila free. And also we know that her teeth were healed at the cross too, because our Lord Jesus heals teeth. We command her teeth to be made whole in the name of Jesus. We command them to be totally healed. We don't want any fillings. We just want teeth to be healed in the name of Jesus. We want that enamel back. We thank you, Father, that Sheila's teeth are healed in Jesus' name. We thank you, too, for putting that bold faith in her. And all the people that we prayed for today, that bold faith that they will pronounce and confess before men your great salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can we break the power of any anxiety or fear that would come against her that might be behind that attack on the stomach? Jesus' name, we break all power of anxiety and stress.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Nervousness. Any of that. We forbid all that in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. Anybody else there?
Yeah. Next one is... Rose asked us to pray for her daughter, Glynis, so she got a rash on her hands. And ask us for prayer.
Okay.
She also had a good testimony about her son Dean too.
Do you want to share it? Or you want to share it?
I can in a minute. I'm dealing with a lot of
okay
things right now.
Let's pray for Glynis, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Glynis, we just command your skin to be perfectly pure and healed in Jesus' name. We forbid any rash on you. And we thank the Lord that you were healed at the cross. And we do agree with Rose that it is a done deal. Our Lord Jesus paid for it. And we're going to make sure we receive it by the grace of God. Lord, we thank you for your blessed healing upon Glynis right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for all your goodness towards us. And thank you for your wonderful signs and your miracles, Lord, that we have testimonies to share with the people around us, Lord, of your love and your graciousness, Lord. Amen.
Just a quick testimony here about Dean.
Okay.
Says, I have a testimony regarding my son. The enemy has again tried to attack my children like previously, and we refused to accept it. Sunday night, my 12-year-old son came to me and said that his throat hurt really bad and that he could not swallow. I prayed with him and thanked the Lord for healing his throat and asked that it be gone by morning. The next morning, he woke up and said that his throat was a little sore, but not as bad. I told him to keep believing, having faith, and it will continue to be healed. When I picked him up from school, he said it was totally gone, and we both praised God.
Yeah.
I could tell by the way Dean looked at me that he believed totally in the Lord's healing.
Mm-hmm.
I praise him for bringing me now to serve him so that my children and others could follow and enjoy the many blessings. I thought it was pretty awesome.
Amen. Boy, I tell you, those children, they get faith.
Childlike faith is awesome.
Yes, they're powerful. My kids did miracles when we were coming up. I mean, I raised them up from the time they were little to believe God's word and receive miracles and go out and command things done, and they did it, boy, I tell you.
There's I know it doesn't, it's hard for some people to imagine, but about a year and a half ago, maybe a little longer than a year and a half ago, two years ago, I was allowed to tell my youngest son about, because he was asking when his mommy and I were going to be back living together, when we were all going to be living back together. And I told him to pray about it and asked that he would ask the Lord to restore our family. Well, a week later, he said, Daddy, we're going to live together again. And he is, and he's 6 years old. At the time, he was 4 years old. And to this day, even last weekend, he says, Daddy, we're going to be back living together real soon, aren't we? You know, I said, in the name of Jesus, we are. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing the child has held on to faith for 2 years.
Yeah.
Not giving up on that.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We have a lot. We have some other prayer requests.
Okay. Let's see how many we can get to.
This is either Pat or Sherry. My back and left hip have been bothering me for about a year. Please pray and let's command the pain in left lower back and left hip to be healed.
Okay.
I don't know if that's Pat or Sherry.
Well, it's important to know that. We don't want to go around healing somebody that don't need it. Right.
I don't know. Let's see if they're even still. Yeah, they're still here. Oh, it's Pat.
Yeah. Okay, let's pray for Pat. Y'all agree with us, right? Thank you, Father. We speak to Pat's back and his left hip. And Lord, we just see it done right now. We just command them to be healed, restored perfectly in Jesus' name. I can just imagine Pat using that back and hip like he hasn't used it in a while, with no pain, joyfully. I can just see that done. Can't you, folks?
He's dancing.
That's right, he's dancing. Praise the Lord.
When our body has had something wrong with it over a period of time, it builds a memory of that, and they're called MEMS. And so we break the power of the MEMS, the memory of the pain and whatever is going on in there, and we just command that body right now in Jesus' name to line up with the word that says Pat was healed.
That's right. And he bore our pains. That's what the Bible says. Isaiah 53. The Lord took away the pain. He took away the infirmity and He took the pain too. So thank you, Father, that Pat is healed and restored and very happy about his gift from you. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Terry. What you got?
I've got several testimonies. People with testimonies.
That's great.
That's great. We also have a question. A really serious question, and I know you've done a study on it such a long time ago, though, about our imagination. Because the person asking has done a research in the scriptures about our imagination, and just about everywhere they looked about imagination, and it was evil. Mm-hmm. They mentioned it about being evil.
Well, of course. A fallen man, or even a fallen Christian, or an unbelieving Christian, all those imaginations are evil. God destroyed the whole earth because man's imagination was only evil continually. Let's see. But you read 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, there's an imagination. And it's a good imagination. The Bible says, even as He is, even so are we in this world. Can you imagine that? That we are delivered from the curse, members of the kingdom of heaven and of its benefits, sons of the living God. Can you imagine that? All those things that we accept by faith are only an imagination until they come to pass, right? So accept your renewed imagination. See Jesus in the mirror and command the things that are in the kingdom of heaven to be yours on earth, right? What Jesus taught us to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a command. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Even as He is, even so are we in this world. We have been given authority. He said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Just imagine that. Imagine having that authority. Because you do. It helps to begin to imagine you are who the Bible says you are. And I'll tell you, it'll fill you with faith. Just meditating on that. That you are the body of Jesus Christ. Now, what did the body of Jesus Christ do in the Gospels? Actually, I want to tell you that what the body of Jesus Christ did in the Gospels was the same thing that the body of Christ did in the book of Acts. Except we're talking about the difference between an individual body and a corporate body. It's just bigger now. The truth is, we are the body of Jesus Christ. We have the authority to speak His deliverances and His healings and His provisions.
What scripture is that you're referring to then?
Which one?
About imaginations and about using our imagination.
2 Corinthians 3 and 18 is the one I mentioned. Okay. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18.
I mean, it was posted. I didn't know if that's... There's...
See, when you see Jesus in the mirror, you are recognizing that you do not live anymore. Christ now lives in you. The word there is mirror, by the way. Not glass. It's a mirror. In the original, in the ancient manuscripts, it's a mirror. That's the gospel, folks. You don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. That's an imagination. That is a renewed imagination. Now you accept that and begin to walk in that, and you will see the same things happen out of you as happened out of the first body of Jesus Christ.
She says that Scripture doesn't say much about imaginations.
I just gave her one.
I know.
Okay. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To believe you are who the Bible says you are.
Could we pray for a friend of mine, Teresa Luther? She's got severe pain in her leg, in her knee.
Uh-huh.
And they want her to have a knee replacement.
Oh, we don't want to see that, do we?
And I keep trying to tell her just to trust God for the healing, that she's already received it. And so can we just all agree?
Okay.
For this one.
Teresa Luther, right? For a, mm-hmm. for a knee from heaven, right?
Mm-hmm. Is she the 82-year-old woman?
No, she's about 70. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember the name of this man. He was a really, really young man who the Lord took to heaven and showed him his warehouse full of body parts that people had prayed for but never endured in faith to the end to receive them. See, that's the thing. A lot of people begin in faith, but they don't continue in faith. They get double-minded and they lose it. And the Lord was showing him through this warehouse with, like a stock room, you know, with shelves with eyes and arms and legs and just all kinds of hearts and things like that on shelves. And he says, what is this? I said, this is all the things that my people prayed for but didn't endure in the end in faith to receive. So I thought, you know, that's something a lot of people do, begin in faith, but then they begin to walk by sight. You see. So let's agree with as Teresa Luther for a new knee joint, right? Father, in the name of Jesus, we do agree today with Teresa Luther that you have blessed her with a new knee joint, because that's what our Lord Jesus did at the cross, and that's what we accept. She is totally healed, and her knee is totally restored. And we ask you to put that bold, tenacious faith in her to hold fast to the word that she's prayed. Because you said, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And you said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for blessing Teresa Luther with a new knee. Thank you for the glory of God that will be spread through this to the understanding that you are a Savior in all things. We thank you and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We forbid doubt and unbelief to rob her of the faith, and we permit that faith in Jesus' name.
Yeah, amen. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Still have issue on this imagination. We might need to do a whole study on that.
Maybe so. I tell you what, if you go to my streaming audio site, you'll see several teachings on that. The first time we ever did it, we had miracle after miracle after miracle. And I tell you what, you might can argue with someone's theology, but you can't hardly argue with their success. It's kind of like going to people who are getting healing as opposed to those that have an argument about healing. You know, there's lots of people who have arguments about healing. But if they're not getting healing, they got no right to talk about it. Right? If you want to get healing or deliverance, go to people who are having success in dealing with it, right? And listen to them. If you're not having success, listen to the people that are having success. And on our site, under Streaming Audio Bible Studies, there's several teachings in there about the imagination. And it is an imagination to believe that you are delivered from sin, you are delivered from the curse. Until it's accomplished, it is an imagination. You're accepting something that you do not see. That is an imagination. And if you behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, you're transformed into that same image. You see, it's an imagination. When you see Jesus in the mirror, that is an image, an imagination. That's what imagination is. So just accept everything the Bible says about you, and you will have a renewed imagination. Not just, see, there are people that they confess me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You see, there are people that think all they have to do is make a confession, but really they don't believe it in their mind, and they don't believe it in their imagination. That's not really a full circuit faith there, you know. That's a schizophrenic type faith, you know. Part of you is for him, and the rest of you is against him, right? So he said, you know, if you confess him with your lips, but your heart is far from him, that's not the kind of faith that's going to do anybody any good, right? Okay. You have another testimony or question?
Randolph said that 2 days ago, I received from the Lord great encouragement and understanding. My wife noticed it last night. Today I received 2 part-time job offers, one after the other, on a voicemail, and I still have 1 more interview this Friday for full-time work.
Praise the Lord.
I did the same thing happened to me the other day. I was praying and God sent work to me, so it's...
Amen.
It's awesome.
Well, we just claim that in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for sending Durandolph your blessings, your provision, supernaturally, Lord. Let it be a job that you'll be able to use him on the people around him, and vice versa. You can bless him with the people around him. And, amen. Thank you, Father. Randolph's been doing a wonderful job on our site, folks. He's our tech guy, and he's fixing that thing up.
Can you... You were talking about all the streaming audios. We have so many streaming audios on the website. Uh-huh. Different types of streaming audios on the website. Which streaming audios are you talking about on the next?
The Bible studies, the ones you're looking at.
Bible studies?
Yeah.
Because we have so, like I said, we have the streaming audios of the radio programs. We have the streaming audios of your book.
Yeah, I don't know which ones, but I do know that there's some in there on the imagination.
Imagination,
and by the way,
through faith, that might be a good.
Yeah, that's one of them right there. Yeah. And by the way, folks, I mean, it's been proven by the facts. I mean, we've had miracles. Every time we've taught on that, we've had miracles because people begin to start exercising faith in their whole being, not just with their mind and not just with their mouth. That's the whole point, you know. I mean, is to not be double-minded. Yeah.
Do we have authority to believe for our children when they're on their own? when they're off on their own.
When they're up on the out on their own. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we can believe for them. We should continue to believe for them, because a lot of times when you raise them up at home, and they get out on their own, they get into some things they shouldn't, because I believe God even permits them to do that, because they sometimes take for granted the fact that they've been raised as Christians, but they never have really understood the mercy and the grace of God, which of course sinners do. Sometimes God lets them get their feet dirty a little bit so that they realize that they have a need of a Savior, and they don't take Him for granted like a lot of children who are raised in the church, so-called, you know. So, yeah, continue to believe for your children, folks, because God will use your faith to bring them into the kingdom. I mean, like this dream of Michael's, you know, about my children being there and everybody dressed in white. Well, I praise God. You know, that's just another promise from the Lord. God makes you a promise. It doesn't matter whether it's in a dream or any other way. It's a promise, and you just receive it by faith, and that's what brings it to pass.
Can we agree for my son Greg that has the diabetes that God will
sure
take that diabetes away from him?
Yeah. And is he walking with the Lord? Well, let's pray for him to do that too, huh? Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Let's agree for Greg. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we know that the curses that are upon this world are to bring people to count the cost and to run to You, Lord, for salvation. And Lord, we just thank You for using everything in Greg's life to bring him to You, Lord. We know he's Yours, and we accept the fact that he is saved already because of our faith. And we know that You've called him the foundation of the world, Lord. And we just accept his salvation today and his healing, because we know that healing is the children's bread. And we thank You that it is healed in the name of Jesus. We just forbid diabetes in his life, in his body, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we bind the devil who's blinded his mind. Devil, You have no authority over him. He is free in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus sets Greg free in Jesus' name. He is free and he is healed in Jesus' name. And that's what we're going to agree with from now on till it's manifested before our eyes. Thank You, Lord.
And I ask You, Father, that You give him a love for the truth and a hunger in his heart to search out the truth. We just break the power of the Antichrist spirit, and that would keep him from coming to the fullness of the revelation of who You are in him. In Jesus' name.
Amen. You have something else up there?
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say something about using our imagination. What came to my mind were the men who lowered a man down through the roof before Jesus. They had to imagine that Jesus could heal this man with the power that came forth from him, because their own spiritual leaders, the Pharisees and Sadducees, couldn't heal this man. Mm-hmm. So they imagined that only Christ could.
Oh, they believed. There ain't no way they'd have tore up that roof. They didn't believe, because they'd have to fix that roof.
Then they stepped foot in motion because they believed. But it started with an imagination. It started with the thought that Jesus could heal this man. Only Jesus could heal this man.
Yeah. And anything that the devil has destroyed, God restores. And the reason for the first flood is the same reason for the great and terrible day of the Lord. And it was because of men's evil imaginations. And the only thing, you know, we've been delivered of all of that. Imagination, body, circumstances. We're delivered from the curse.
Where she may be having trouble with imagination is because of the perversion that the New Age people have done.
Yeah.
And that might be where her confusion is coming in.
Well, yeah, I mean, honestly, there was, like she was saying, that whoever the author was of Thinking Grow Rich, how the demons told him to just imagine the bank handing him $5,000.
Well, of course.
So he imagined these things, and they gave him the money.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you can imagine things that that will enable the devil to take advantage of you, and you can imagine things that will enable God to manifest His salvation to you. So, I mean, anything that the devil wants to pervert, he wants to pervert it for a reason, so he can use it, right? It works the same for the kingdom of God. When I asked God to give me a house here in Pensacola, I imagined and I believed that I received. And you know, within a week, God had started the process of giving me a home. I didn't have to pay a nickel for it. And let me say something. For 30-something years, I've been receiving healing from the Lord. I've raised 5 kids. As long as they were under my authority, they always got their healings. You have to pay attention when somebody's getting success and not let your reasoning or your arguments against it, you know, keep you from receiving the same thing. The Pharisees argued with Jesus, and they had all kinds of theological reasons why they wanted to argue with Jesus, but the truth was he was the only one getting people healed. So they should have paid attention to him. God does want to restore your imagination. He doesn't want you to have an evil imagination. He wants you to have a saved imagination. And I don't care how many cults out there use the imagination. If you go and read in the book of Exodus, you'll find out that the physicians or the sorcerers copied the miracles that God did. But that don't mean that what God did was wrong because the devil does it. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with that. The devil wants to pervert anything that God restores, including your imagination. We're used to seeing our natural face in the mirror. It doesn't take any imagination to see that. It takes an imagination to see Jesus in the mirror.
My prayer lately has been, Lord, I pray that you help me get beyond human reason.
Yeah.
That what the religious system, what tradition has implanted, you know, Father, I just ask for breakthrough through that reasoning that would keep me from walking and living in
right. Amen.
Perfection.
Amen, that's true. What else, Terry?
Let's see, what else do we have? We have several questions. There's no way we can get to all these questions. Let's see. The enemy's ready to give her testimony or question or whatever it was. She's had her hand up all night.
Oh, please, please. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I know. It's, you know, one of those nights.
Go ahead, Amy. Tell us something good.
I think your mic volume is turned down. Slide the volume bar all the way up on the PowTalk screen too. And maybe double click your speaker on your system tray and make sure your mic isn't muted. And let me know when you check those things.
You should know how to find them.
She has a mic.
You know, do I have the mic?
Yeah, we have the mic.
You know, It's a good thing if you go into, even before we come on Pal Talk, in our Unleavened Bread Bible study, if you come on Pal Talk and go into a room and test out your mic on somebody. And if not, you can go to the Pal Talk help and they can tell you how to make your mic work. In a lot of cases, it's just an adjustment, you know, that you have to do. And that way you can test it out before you come into the room.
Yeah, the help lobby, even if you don't even say anything and if they don't get to you for 30 minutes, listen to the questions people are asking, and a lot of times they answer your question before they even get to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll sit there and listen to people's questions just to better understand how their system works.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. There's only about 10 questions that people ask. I mean, all 300 of them at one time, you know, they're all asking about 10 questions.
So do we want to come back to Amy or what?
Well, if she wants to put her hand up again. Underdog had a testimony too.
Okay.
I'm waiting on a hand to be raised. But I asked for a brief... You know, because they were worried about it being the wrong, you know, not the right timing or something. But I just asked for a brief synopsis of the testimony and said, in the beginning, we were talking about our healing being by God's grace rather than our works. Uh-oh. No, we got the mic. Okay, Underdog's got his hand up now. So I'll let her or him do it. Go ahead, Underdog. I speak. Oh, no. I think they have the mute on their mics. It's gotta be.
Did we cut that last testimony off in the middle?
Which one?
The one you were just reading?
That was this person's.
Underdog?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Someone trying to come on the mic. It really seems like y'all's mics are muted for some reason. But anyways, I'll finish reading what was typed to me. We're talking about our healing being by God's grace rather than our works. 27 years ago, my father dealt head on with this concept in an experience he had with my older sister when she went into a coma. Oh, got the hand back up again. Okay. Let her try it one more time for him.
Better connection, something.
Yeah, the people that are trying to come on are actually grabbing the mic. They're actually coming online. It's just there's no sound because it sounds muted. It sounds like there's a mute, like this mute button is pushed. And
yeah, it would be good to test out your mic in Pal Talk or something, okay?
Or in Sound Recorder in Windows. Just go to Start Programs Accessories and then Sound Recorder. And test it there too.
Okay. And we should put a note in the link that we have on the front page of our site concerning testing out your mic.
Yeah.
What else you got, Terry?
Let's see. What else do we have? Let's see. Oh, Kay Boyd. I don't know the person's first name, but Boyd seems like the last name. I had a dream a few months ago that. At the time, I didn't understand the meaning. I think it has to do with the falling away. This occurred about 4 months ago. I was standing outside at night. The sky was completely clear, no clouds at all. I remember thinking how sharp and clear everything looked. It was strange that there were so many stars in the sky, far more than what you normally see. They were very bright, sharp, and very clear. Then I noticed the stars actually formed images like astronomy's zodiac signs. I saw a group of stars that formed the shape of a woman, dressed and looked like someone from ancient times, wearing a toga type of dress, etc. She was lying on a couch and was propped up on one elbow in a provocative pose. That's the impression I got, seductive. There was a young woman standing next to me, also looking up at the stars. I don't know who she was. She had black hair and black eyes, and she turned and looked at me with a sly, gleeful smile and said, "They're getting ready to come down." I could see in her eyes this was something she was glad about. I didn't get what she was talking about at the time. It wasn't until I heard Dave talk about the stars, moon, and sun glory that I realized this was a dream about the end times, I guess.
And the falling away.
Or the falling away.
Yeah, but getting ready to come down. Would you say that probably was the harlot, the one with the seductive look, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, the harlot in most cases are Christians that have loved the world, that have received the seed of the world. That's why they're called a harlot, you know? And they're going to fall from their position. They'll either repent or they'll fall and lose their position in the heavens. Mm-hmm. Now, we're seated with Christ in heavenly. We're above this world, folks. Christians don't realize we are above this world. We are the light of this world.
Well, here's something that you were talking about last week. So last week you covered Ezekiel 13 and 14. And I wish he would comment on the part where about four times God says that though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they should deliver their own souls, not the souls of even their children. Is this a time we are coming to where we can only save ourselves by our righteousness with God? What about our children?
Yes, we are coming to a time. It is not now, but we are coming to a time that only the righteous will be saved. And the rest will be reprobated. The book of Revelation speaks of that time, that no one else repented. You know, there were, when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in and God turns to the Jews, what that means is God's not offering grace to the Gentiles anymore. To the other Gentiles anymore, you see. Like it was in the Jews' time. I mean, God turned away from them. He wasn't offering them grace anymore. And only the righteous were saved. There's coming a time when God's people are going to be getting into the ark, getting prepared for a great and terrible day of the Lord. And guess what? Everybody that's left, it won't do them any good. Only the righteous will be saved. But right now, it's not that time. God is still offering grace to the Gentiles. He's still offering grace to the world. But there's coming a time when that's no longer going to be offered. And only the righteous will be saved by their righteousness. And no one else will be. So that's true. And the Bible speaks of this several times. It speaks of it in Ezekiel, Jeremiah. I think it's Jeremiah 15, if I'm not mistaken, that he speaks about this. Anything else?
Yeah, but I think the person's gone. They had a question about, or actually a question, had a comment. Says, "I believe God keeps my car running, among other blessings. I know that may sound a little nutty, but indeed I pray over it frequently, and it's, praise God, still going strong. Our glory be to God on the side.
Amen. God heals cars as quick as he heals bodies.
Yeah.
You know, I went for many, many years and never had to work on my cars, you know. Just praying over them. I've seen God overhaul motors. I had one of them that was smoking real bad, and God fixed it. And I've seen him repair water pumps and alternators, restore them. And prayed over lots of things, carburetors, transmissions. I prayed over those, and God's fixed them. Yet, don't even think because it's your car, not your body, that the Lord can't heal it, you know.
But it all belongs to the Lord.
It all belongs to the Lord.
Here's something that a lot of people don't want to, they don't believe me, but I've never, ever, ever carried road hazard warranty on tires. And I recently, within the last 6 months, have bought brand new tires. And I wasn't thinking about it. The road hazard warranty came with the tires, or the price, it was included in the price. Come to find out, it actually was an extra. It's just in the price advertised. It was, they just added it. And didn't really think much of it at the time, but I've never had a flat tire or any road hazard in my tires until I got this warranty. You know? And it wasn't something I asked for. It just came with the car, you know, with the tires. But I got to thinking, well, if I'm going to have a warranty and it's going to be in man's hands, that God's going to allow me to have that. Mm-hmm. I just can't, you know, I've never had that happen until I had a warranty, man's warranty.
Well, if you get insurance, you probably need it.
Yes.
If you don't have it, you have to trust in God, and he'll take care of you.
I asked my husband to cancel my health insurance. I'm pressing the Lord. Mm-hmm. Got that pacemaker in it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I remember on my tires when I got, Lord gave me a lesson like that. Mm-hmm. I had a neighbor who used to borrow my car. This was years ago. I had a new Datsun station wagon. You know how long that was, you know. But we had a neighbor who would always borrow the car, you know. And car had new, I remember the tires. They were Toyo tires. New tires that came on the car. And I had couple of blowouts on those tires. And one day I was going down the road and I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't understand this. I said, can't you keep my tires? And the Lord said, well, don't you believe I can keep your tires? I heard him loud and clear. Don't you believe I can keep your tires? I said, yeah, I believe you can keep my tires. He said, well, then why do you keep putting that spare back there? That's right. That's what he said. I said, okay, I won't put that spare back there no more. And I didn't put that spare back there. I never had another flat. Never had another flat. And the next car, I did the same thing. Never had a flat. And the next car, by the way, I was getting ready to give the car away one day. In fact, I gave it to a mission church one day. I put the keys to that car in the guy's hand that ran the minister's car that ran the mission. We walked outside for him to take possession of the car, and it was sitting on a flat. As long as I had that car, I never had a flat on that car. And the minute I gave it away, I went outside, it was sitting on a flat. The Lord made sure, I didn't keep any insurance in that car. I didn't have any spare back there. God's awesome, I tell you. You know, he wants us to trust in him, and his power is made perfect in weakness, you know. If you want insurance, you must not want assurance. You must not believe the assurance, right? I'd rather have assurance than insurance any day, especially when we're talking about the Lord, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I had to do. I was sitting there wondering, why was I getting all these flat tires? I mean, it was like I would get one, and then shortly thereafter, I'd get it fixed, I'd get another one. I have probably about 4 nail holes in one tire. And I said, Lord, I didn't ask for this warranty. This was put on here without my permission. And I just don't accept this. And finally, I stopped getting the flat tires once I come into agreement that the Lord protects, you know. But at the time, I kept thinking, or someone said, well, it's a good thing you have that warranty. Road has a warranty. I'm like, yeah, I guess so. And that's when I started getting them over and over. And I was like, whoa, what did I do? I agreed with the...
See, God is your Jehovah Jireh. He's your supplier. He's your provider. But if you have already paid for man to be your provider, he doesn't have to be. If you run to man for healing, God don't need to be your healer. See, if you go run and get into debt at the bank because you don't trust that God can give you the money, then why does God have to do it? You know, he's not going to do it. See, if you're going to do it yourself, because his power is made perfect in weakness. He's waiting for us to stop our methods and our ways and trust in him. That's part of the Sabbath. That's ceasing from our works, right? His power is made perfect in our weakness. You have another question, testimony?
Let's see.
Prayer request? What do you think? Or somebody got their mic under control?
Let me see if this person's still in here. Nope, they're not in there anymore. My mom had a testimony. She didn't really share it. I knew we didn't get to it earlier, but... after the storm, I mean, she's still without shingles, I mean, without a roof being fixed. And there's holes, I mean, big holes in this roof. And we prayed over that the Lord would keep it from water from getting in, and it's still dry. But in waiting on shingles, she only needed 5 square of shingles to repair, I mean, it's 500 square foot of shingles. Well, with the shingles shortage in this area, it's hard to order just 5 square. And you got 50 builders ordering 30, average of 35 squares per job, and they have about 50 jobs that they're doing. So 5 squares, you're telling these roofers to, you know, don't bother talking to us. Mm-hmm. Well, she prayed about it, and the color that she actually has on her roof, no one carries, and she prayed about it, and a guy placed an order for 2 pallets of these shingles, the same color she needed, and ordered them and never picked them up. So, I mean, so it looked like she wasn't going to be able to get a roof, and then all of a sudden, the Lord provided the material that she needed.
Yeah,
that was pretty awesome to me. I mean, all of a sudden...
Sure.
You know, after she was told it might be 6 months before she might get those shingles. You know, and all of a sudden she says, well, I don't accept that. I think the Lord can provide them right now. And the next day, there they are.
The Lord's got angels that have nothing else to do but to look after your needs, folks. You might as well let them go to work, right? You pray and they'll make sure things happen. I have a testimony here. I get lots of these testimonies that come to me. Here's one today. I just decided to print this one. It says, Dear Mr. Eels, you don't know me, and I've never met you, but God has done an incredible work in my life through you. Well, it ain't through me, of course. It's through the Lord. But he said, I've been a Christian for about 16 years. I've been a missionary to several countries. But to my shame, the past 4 years, I've been walking away from Christ. And when I say I walked away from Christ, I let my love go cold. Apathy set in, and I even stopped going to church for a while. The past year, I maybe opened my Bible 4 times. Maybe. I found your website, and I also found the website for the Prophecy Club, and I started to listen. And after hearing your message, something deep inside of me broke loose. And I cried out to God and repented. And for the past 6 months, I've been on fire again. God used you and your message to bring me back to Him. Praise God. I just wanted to email you, encourage you, and let you know that God is using you. You may not hear about a lot of people who are coming to Christ or rededicating their life to Christ, but it's happening. Because of your help, I've been looking at the Bible in ways I never imagined. And I hope and pray that God would speak to me like He does to others. I just am so happy to be back with Christ. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Stand fast and please keep doing what God leads you to do. It is working. In Christ, with much gratitude. Praise God. That's Mr. Kevin there.
Based on your earlier comments or teaching about the herbs and all, I need to repent because I've been into that. Not deeply, but it's still sin. And I just repent before the Lord for trusting in the arm of the alternative flesh.
Yeah, amen.
Even the natural flesh.
It's not the gospel, folks.
And also encouraging others. That's where the bigger sin is, that I encouraged others.
Yeah, you know, we're supposed to just share with them the good news. And the good news is what's already done, not what you are going to do. It's what's already done. That's why it's a good news, because it's already accomplished. You were healed. You're blessed. You're delivered. You don't need to get health. You got it. It was given you as a free gift by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Don't let it be for naught. Don't let Jesus suffer for nothing. You know, because if you go about your own works to try to take care of yourself, basically what you're saying is, well, he just suffered for nothing in my case.
I was going to say Trish has her hand
up. All right. Trish, share something with us.
Hi there. I wanted to share a dream that I was going to share when we shared the dream about the dove, because I had a dream with a dove, an eagle and a bear back in May. And it was, I was in like a large two-story, I had written it down, I was in a large two-story type warehouse building, and there was a ceiling fan, type, you know, warehouse fan. And this dove was to fly out a window, but the fan seemed to be pulling it back in, and it was getting chopped off in the fan. And somebody standing next to me pulled out a gun and shot it in the dream, it seemed, as to put it out of its misery. And immediately, an eagle came flying directly into a corner behind me, and in the dream I felt like I had to duck because it was so humongous. And then I turned around, you know how dreams are, and I turned around, and there was a bear, and it seemed as if he was awakening, and it seemed as if his head was the one that hit the wall, because there was a blood drop at the crown of his head. And he was awakening, and there seemed to be a child sitting there with a mom and a dad. And I said, you need to move fast. I knew what this bear got its conscience. It became conscious again, that it would literally tear apart anything in front of it. And I went down a hallway and turned and seemed to go into what seemed like a huge closet, pushed my way behind something and crouched down. But I knew that I had a fear that I had never had before, which was absolute, that bear would find me, and there was no way out. And in the dream, I called out. I literally looked up and called out to God, because that was the only way out. And sure enough, I woke immediately up. So I wanted to share that with you. Thanks.
Well, you know, that does sound a lot like America and Russia and what's actually going to come to pass, doesn't it? What happened to the eagle in your dream? I didn't catch that part.
He flew right after the dove was shot. This eagle came flying in to the corner behind me and smashed into the wall and just fell.
Hit a brick wall.
Oh, ran into a brick wall, huh? Yeah. Well, You know, probably the dove represents the church, because there's a persecution coming against the church. And what a lot of people don't realize is that after that is when America's going to get hit. I know everybody's been saying America would get hit before that, but that's not true. America is Babylon. And Babylon had to persecute the saints before Babylon met her doom at the hands of the bear. See, Babylon was conquered by a bear too. They were the great eagle that was conquered by the bear, the Medo-Persian Empire. That was their symbol, the bear. And first, the saints were persecuted and crucified by the eagle. Then, the eagle was destroyed by the bear. So that's the process we're about to go through now. The first, the saints are going to be crucified by America. So get ready for that, folks. That's what's coming next.
I was going to say, we end times must be getting really, really, really close. Or something's going on with this ministry, because all of a sudden, in the past 2 weeks, I've had to bounce more people in the last 3-4 meetings we've had than I've had to the whole time we've been online. Just some crazy folks out there that have nothing better to do than just to come into the room and
persecute us,
basically.
Oh, well. You know, it's funny that people could come into a congregation of people and fall out before they ever even sit around and find out what you're talking about, you know?
Yeah.
It's like they are looking for trouble. For goodness sake, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be so obnoxious as to come into a group of people that seem to be at peace and begin to criticize and throw darts at them. When I don't really know what they're doing or haven't paid attention to what they're saying. You know, the Bible says a person who answers before he hears, it's a shame unto him. You know that? People that only want to tell you what they know, when they haven't heard what you said, have criticized you, and they haven't heard what you said, haven't listened from the beginning, hadn't heard the foundation, they're just so full of their own religion, they know nothing else could be right, so they know you have to be wrong, right? Well, it's a shame unto them, because they haven't listened yet. You know, how does our law condemn a man except it first hear from him? Even the Jews understood that. Does our law condemn a man except it first hears from him? You have to listen to people before you give your opinion, right? So many people come into a room like this, and you can tell what spirit they are because they're immediately going to attack you, you know? You say one word against their unconditional eternal security, or their ideas of what are going to happen to America, or their all fly away doctrine, or something like that. They're not going to listen to you, they just want to attack you, you know?
And God is, we're going to be held accountable for what He has given us in knowledge, but also, we'll be held accountable for what we had an opportunity to know and reject it.
Right.
So, it's scary.
Wow. Now, here's something really good news, though. We've had a lot of first-timers the last 4 times we've met.
Uh-huh.
And so, one person says, first time the Unleavened Bread Bible Study live. I'll have to get a microphone. I've been listening to the old Bible studies on the website.
Yeah.
I
recommend that any of you that haven't been around long enough to hear what we're actually saying, you know, that you of course have to be patient with us because you haven't heard a foundation of what we're saying yet, but you can go to those streaming audio Bible studies on the site there. Terry can show you where they are, and there's a lot of good teaching there. It's all Bible, and a lot of people are really, really enjoying them. People that have ears, eyes and ears, you know, are really enjoying them. So,
this is Claudine that's here for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I think I heard from Claudine today, matter of fact.
Another person says, this is my second night. So, I mean, we're getting a lot of people that are coming.
I'm getting a lot of letters from people, too. I'm getting the tapes and Is the restroom this way?
Right there at the hall, the door's open.
But yeah, it's our, you know, our assembly has grown and growing and growing and growing, so the word is getting out, and that's good news.
Amen. That's good news.
That's good news.
So, do we need to? We need to pray and save some of this for tomorrow or next time, rather.
It says sound will cut in and out here in Phoenix. I have and will continue to pray and plead the blood of Christ for your ministry.
That's right. We need that. We thank you for that. God bless you.
Yeah.
Yes, keep us in your prayer. And pray for all the folks that join us that they be able to get their mics straightened out and their sound straightened out. Any of you that are having sound problems or your mic is not working, try that out. You know, take this between here and the next Bible study and go into Pal Talk Help or go in and see if, test out your mic in one of the chat rooms or something like that and make sure your mic's working good. And, of course, sometimes you have connections you have problems with and that kind of thing. So try to solve those problems, and we'd love to hear from you, love to hear your testimonies and revelations and prayer requests and all that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship and around your word, Lord. We give praise unto you, Lord, for teaching us and revealing to us your grace, your mercy, and blessing these people that we prayed for today. We thank you, Lord, that they are all healed, delivered, blessed, or whatever they needed, Lord, that we agree that it's done today in Jesus' name. We know we're going to hear some testimonies next time we get together. So, Father, we praise you. We ask, Lord, that our brethren go out there and do the work of the Great Commission, that you put it in their heart, that you put your words in their mouth, that you give them signs and wonders, that you put the grace and the faith and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of Jesus Christ in them, Lord. And we know that you've provided all this through the sacrifice of Jesus. It's already been paid for. It's ours. And help us to walk in the faith that we need to manifest these things. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for being our God and our Savior. We thank you for going with us the rest of this week. And being in us what we cannot hope to be otherwise. We thank you that it is Christ in us, the hope of glory. We thank you that it's a done deal. And we praise you for it, Lord. Go with our brethren, Lord. And your love be in our hearts and towards one another. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Well, God bless you, brother. Join us again next time. And bring a testimony with you. We'd love to hear it. Good night.